I'm here interviewing Colin Ritchie, one of our local residents, and I'd like to get some of Colin's ideas on the village. And so, Colin, what's your story? How did you get into Alert Bay?
I'm in my 24th year here now, which is the longest I've lived anywhere. I don't plan on going anywhere, so this will be it. I was hand logging over in the mainland inlets, and this was my last stop before heading into the bush for fuel and the boat and everything. It was my supply stop. And then I was turning 50, the last little gypo out there. They just wanted me to go away. Came ashore here after fueling up one time, and there's a for sale sign on the three little BC Packers cottages downtown by the ferry. And inquired, they were owned by Rossback, and it sort of went from there. He wanted to sell the old general store of the cannery building as well, and that really excited me, an old funky old building on pilings out over the water. But I've always loved this community, so everything's taken a lot longer than I thought it would, but I've done it basically on a shoestring and sweat equity. The hotel, St. Baudin, is doing very well. People really enjoy it. So that's how I ended up here.
You were on Denman for a long time, too?
Before that, I was on Denman Island. But this is, that was fun, but this is closer to the edge. The two communities here make life really interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, extremely good friends right from day one. So no regrets coming here. As far as the community itself and the changes, I mean, yes, a huge, when I came, the harbor was full of wooden seine boats, working boats. There is, I believe, one working wooden seine boat left in the harbor. Changes have happened really fast. And I think we've lost a bunch of our heritage because of the speed. They weren't appreciated. Some of the buildings, cannery buildings, for example, could have been put to so many uses, but were pulled down at vast expense.
Mm-hmm. Colin, you're describing those early days and, you know, the fishing fleet, and I know those days well, and it's changed a lot since then. There's been a change in the population here for sure, and an increase of the aging population. What things have happened in Alert Bay that you weren't too happy to see?
Very little, if any. I think on the whole it's been positive changes. Mm-hmm. I think the attitude does need to change that we can survive and move ahead here economically. We just have to be, I've always said, tell young people, think big and then promptly think outside the box and then promptly think big. Just be ballsy. And yeah. It's amazing. I mean, as far as attitudes, I mean, we're getting new blood in on a reasonably steady basis, so that's always good for a community. But no, I don't see too many negatives, really. I think our attitudes are changing, and glad that people like yourself are on council now. We need definitely forward thinking. Mm-hmm. I don't believe we're going to make it if we keep trying to be the same as everywhere else. We have to be different.
What do you mean by that?
Same as everywhere else? Our type of housing and just our attitude to regulations, pushing uh-huh. that button a bit.
Yeah.
But I know we do need some kind of regulations, but on Devon Island, I use the example of the house I built with a chainsaw and a peanut butter bottle, and if it rolled, it wasn't level. I mean, this is extreme, but nevertheless,
yeah,
it sold for over $500,000 last year, and 800 people a year go through it on the house and garden tour.
Yeah.
So they don't all have to be, quote, Comox boxes and this kind of thing. Because we are going to have to be different here to survive, and I'm thinking one sort of suggestion with the airstrip there, which is totally underutilized, is a friend called me once and knew I was interested in old buildings and said, have you heard of this new tourism thing called Passion for? I said, what? He said, well, Passion for Old Buildings, Passion for Making tanning skins, passion for making cedar baskets and things like that, is that you bring people in for 4 days. One day take them out on the boat, which would get more boat operators working. One day do the village, and 2 days learn about making cedar baskets. And the beauty of that one is that the possibilities are limitless. They go on and on and on forever. Mm-hmm. And then, while rather than do it once a summer, these kind of studies, do it back to back like the fishing resorts do. So people come in, people go out. You're cutting your transportation costs in half. You fill the belly of the plane with value-added seafood products from here. When it goes out, mm-hmm. they get down to Vancouver for a freebie. Into the seniors situation, I think there's such a need with my generation, the baby boomers coming along. It's huge. None of us really want to go into nursing homes. We're not doing anything about it, but we could. Some of the larger old buildings here, that kind of thing, and then there'll be employment for nurses, people for cooking, cleaning, on and on it goes. Mm-hmm. So that starts to get young families here in the nursing fields and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Again, and produce like shellfish farming, I think, would employ a number of people. It's a high-value product. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talent as far as working with boats. There should be a marine ways here for barges, if not for boats. I mean, Tarkin and the Sointula's doing a good job, mm-hmm. but there's nothing for barges. Mm-hmm. There's at least 7 of them in the North Island at the moment, and mm-hmm. probably will be more. Just any kind of value-added products, either out of wood and concrete and that kind of thing, or value-added in the wildlife fish sector.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hearing a guy on the radio from Port Hardy, Port McNeil area, who's a fishing guide, and now the fishing regulations they have. He said that there are more fish this year than he remembers, actually. He was just out catching. But they have now regulations where they can only keep one, and they have very specific catch limit on size, upper and lower, and so it's just, like you said, most people are canceling their trips, you know, which is... Mm. A shame.
We need these kind of businesses. It's a catch-22 for restaurants and small shops to survive.
Yeah.
So which comes first? That's the awkward one. You take a chance.
Yeah.
Like I did building the hotel. It happened to pay off. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's other opportunities that could be just do some what amount of research, but go for it, if mm-hmm. at all possible.
Mm-hmm. Good. So how can we, what's a way to accomplish all these things? Like, you know, should we have a sort of an organization, a business organization of business people in the community? Should it be through our village council or what? Do you have any ideas about that?
I sort of gave up on meetings a number of years ago, but they do have their purpose for sure. Mm-hmm. It's just, I think, help is what's needed when somebody does have these ideas. It's help, because the rules and regulations now are so onerous in practically all departments, it literally gets to the stage of, is it worth it? Which is a shame, because a lot of these ideas are very definitely worth it.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing that the council could do is just help those individuals that do come up. Don't put impediments in their way. And in many ways, like I said before, I feel council, we elect them to represent us because we're all too busy in our day-to-day lives. But rather than when the province comes along and says, okay, will you please make sure your people do it this way? Rather than saying, yes, sir, we will make sure they do it this way, just say, well, actually, hold on a sec. That particular rule really is not applicable in this community. You know, we are capable of building our own house. We are capable of this, that. And so I feel I would like to see councils stand up for us more rather than standing up for the province.
Excellent. Well, on that note, Colin, I will I'll conclude our discussion. We may have future discussions too, but yeah, well, thanks. Thanks very much.
Okay, and thank you, Larry, for being on council and the time you put into it.
Hello again, Larry Hill here. Thanks for listening to that interview. There will be others posted on this site, so don't forget that I also do a summary of the council meetings. Usually within a week of our council meetings, there'll be online a summary on this anchor.fm. So listen to those too and see what you think. Thanks very much. From Port Hardy one morning I cast off my line. The sea was all smooth and the weather just fine. Out for Castle Rock I was headed away, where the coho flashed silver all over the bay. Where the coho flashed silver all over the bay.